Gopijana Balaba Giribara Dore
Gopijana Balaba Giribara
Dore Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana
Yashoda Nandana Brajajana
Jamuna Tira fairies flying in the sky within a few days and everything else like that and so on. So it's all a matter of how determined we are, dhruva, to how fast we can progress. And Srimad Bhagavatam, tatojayam udhirayat, Srimad Bhagavatam is our very means of conquest. So we have to have right here in front of us, one volume, this is the eighth canto, First two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. A little bit more elevated, we can see his legs and his waist and his chest and his throat and his face. We can rise up, right, to the face of God. So eighth canto is pretty advanced, but I guess everybody here is also great transcendentalists. Okay, so the story is that Bali Maharaj, he was a asura, and by his austerities and potencies, he conquered the heavenly planets, the celestial world, like that. And then the demigods, the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she was praying for Vishnu to come and correct the situation so her children could again become, you know, the proprietors of the celestial worlds. So he incarnated as Vamanadeva, and he asked for 3 paces of land. That's all I want, 3 paces of land. But that was a trick, because with the first pace he covered the entire, you know, world. The second pace he covered the entire universe. And then where to put the third step? So Bali Maharaj is a very elevated person. And he agreed. He actually said, "Well, put it on my head," like that. And so then he was tied up with ropes and all this kind of stuff happening. So then Bali Maharaj's wife, what's her name? Vindhyavali. She then offers prayers to Vishnu in this situation. Please repeat. Shri Vrindavali Uvacha.
Shri Vrindavali Uvacha.
Shri Vrindavali Uvacha.
Shri Vrindavali Uvacha.
Kreda.
Kreda.
Artam.
Artam.
Atmana.
Atmana.
Idam.
Idam.
Tri Jagat.
Tri Jagat.
Kritam Te.
Kritam Te.
Tri jagat kritam te. Idam tri jagat kritam te.
Idam tri jagat kritam te.
Atmana 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 idam tri jagat kritam te.
Okay. Kridartam.
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 Kridartam. Kridartam. Atmana idam.
Atmana idam.
Tri jagat kritam te.
Tri jagat kritam te.
Kridartam atmana idam. Tri jagat kritam te. Close enough. Yeah. Svamyam tu tatra kudyo para isha kurya. This is his wife, you know, less intelligent woman. Kartu prabhos tavakim asyata avahantim tyakta hriyastvar avaropita kartrivadaha. Translation? How would you do the translation? You start with a dictionary, or you go through and try to find the words and break them into the categories, okay, and get an idea. Then you need a dictionary most of the time?
Yes.
Most of the time?
Even for words I know, I look them up in the dictionary always.
Yeah.
Because there's always so many shades of meaning that you don't realize, and then whichever one you're thinking of, it's almost always another one.
Oh, is it?
Especially with Bhagavatam, it uses often secondary or tertiary meanings of words.
Wow. And sometimes he uses all three.
Yes.
Yeah, like that. You can see more efficient that way. Yeah. Okay. Sri Vrindavali said, "Oh my Lord, you have created the..." The reason I chose this verse is because in the front of every book, Prabhupada picks out one verse like that, right? Yeah. And it's very interesting to look these verses up and see which what. Sometimes it's the start of a whole series like this. This is the first verse in Vrindavali's prayers. So maybe these prayers by Vrindavali are actually very special. It goes on from text number 20. Oh, it's only one verse. It's very, very short, succinct lady. Of course, the verse is very long, too. Okay. Sri Vrindavali said, "Oh, my Lord, you have created the entire universe for what?
Play pastime?
Huh?
play or pastime?
Oh yeah, krita? Yeah. You have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes. Wow. But foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly, they are shameless agnostics, falsely claiming proprietorship. They think they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer, and annihilator of this universe? Because Bali Maharaj is giving his head, giving the land, giving all these things, and you think he's somebody special. Purport. Bali Maharaj's wife, who was most intelligent, supported the arrest of her husband, okay, and accused him of having no intelligence because he had claimed proprietorship of the property of the Lord. Such a claim is a sign of demoniac life. Although the demigods, who are officials appointed by the Lord for management, are attached to materialistic enjoyment, they never claim to be the proprietors of the universe. For they know that the actual proprietor of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. This is the qualification of the demigods. But the demons, instead of accepting the exclusive proprietorship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, claim the property of the universe for themselves through demarcations of nationalism. This part is mine, and that part is yours, they say. This part I can give in charity, and this part I can keep for my own enjoyment. These are all demoniac conceptions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 16:13. Idam adya mayam labdam imam prapsye manoratam. Bhagavad Gita 16:13. Thus far I have acquired so much money and land, the demon says. Now I have to add more and more. In this way I shall be the greatest proprietor of everything. Who can compete with me? These are all demoniac conceptions. Bali Maharaj's wife accused Bali Maharaj by saying that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead had arrested him, showing him extraordinary mercy, and although Bali Maharaj was offering his body to the Supreme Lord for the Lord's third step, he was still in the darkness of ignorance. Actually, the body did not belong to him, but because of his long-standing demoniac mentality, he could not understand this. He thought that since he had been defamed for his inability to fulfill his promise in charity, and since the body belonged to him, he would free himself from defamation by offering his body. Actually, however, the body does not belong to anyone but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by whom the body is given. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayeshe Juna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarabhutani Yanta Rudrani Mayaya. The Lord is situated in the core of everyone's heart, and according to the material desires of the living entity, the Lord offers a particular type of machine, the body, through the agency of the material energy. The body actually does not belong to the living entity. It belongs to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Under the circumstances, how could Bali Maharaj claim the body belonging to him? Thus Vindhyavali, Bali Maharaj's intelligent wife, prayed that her husband be released by the Lord's causeless mercy. Otherwise, Bali Maharaj was nothing but a shameless demon, specifically described as Tyaktva Hriyas Tvad Avaropita Kartrir Vadaha, a foolish person claiming proprietorship over the property of a supreme person. In the present Kali Yuga, the number of such shameless men who are agnostics, disbelieving in the existence of God, has increased. trying to defy the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so-called scientists, philosophers, and politicians manufacture plans and schemes for the destruction of the world. They cannot do anything good for the world. And unfortunately, because of Kali Yuga, they have plunged the wealth, the affairs of the world into mismanagement. Thus, there is a great need for the Krishna consciousness movement for the benefit of innocent people who are being carried away by propaganda of such demons. In the present status quo, if the present status quo is allowed to continue, people will certainly suffer more and more under the leadership of these demoniac agnostics. So Prabhupada's not even like going to the point of demoniac atheists. even people will say, well, I don't believe in God or disbelieve, right? I'm not opposed to God, whatever. No. Because the evidence is so strong that even if you say that, you're really denying the evidence and denying the actual authority like that and so on. Yeah. Well, look, the owner of the car is not here, so therefore what's the harm of my taking the car and using it the way I want to use it? Right? God's not manifest, so therefore I have no reason why I can't enjoy everything like that. So it's the basic argument. But actually, Krishna is very manifest. Again, somebody asked Prabhupada, he said, show me God. And Prabhupada said, show me something which is not God. In the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about yoga, religion, connect up to God. Yoginam api sarve sham bhagatenantaratmanam shradavam bhajate yomam same yukta tamo mataha. The greatest yogi is one who is worshipping me, bhaja, with faith, shraddha. Very directly, devotional scripture. So the seventh chapter, then he tells him you should use your meditation, concentrate on me. In the seventh chapter, then he tells him how to do it, like that. And what can you meditate on? Bhumir, Apo, Nalo, Vayu, Kamano, Buddha, Evacha, Ahankara, Itiyam, Me, Bina Prakritir, Ashtada. These are my eight separated energies. The fire has energy. It has heat, it has light. These are all energies of the fire, in the same way. So Krishna has his energies. And he said basically there's eight, which are kind of separated from him. Basically he says, I'm everything that you can smell, taste, feel, hear, what else we got? See, think, know, or be. It kind of covers the whole range of it. Kind of squeeze something in there, the sense of touch, sense of smell. How are the five senses for acquiring knowledge? The mind for thinking about it, the intelligence for understanding it. And finally, my assertion of who I am, my ego, false ego. All these things are his eight separated energies, he's saying. So you come home, right? And you're expecting your mother to be there. You're coming home from high school or something, and there's a note on the table on the refrigerator that says, oh, Johnny, I had to go right away to Chicago. I caught a flight. Something really happened very serious with your father. Go turn on the tape recorder. I left a message for you. So you go over and you listen to it. Hello, Johnny. Blah, 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 blah. So are you listening to your mother? Yeah, but this is material nature. Krishna is here manifesting himself, but he keeps us separated by the time factor, by the Paramatma. So we're listening to Krishna, we're listening to your mother, but it's through this media which separates yourself. If she's telling you something about your father and it gets too heavy where you're just starting to break down and stuff, you can stop, you can push the pause button. Personally present, there's no pause button exactly, and so on. And also it's it's detached and stuff some way. So Prabhupada said, this is the situation in the material world, that through the time factor, Paramatma, then Krishna keeps from imposing himself on us too much. So he gives us our space, our illusion, we can carry on. I'm God, I'm this and that. The children want to act like parents, like adults, right? Okay, here's an example Prabhupada said, that we want to separate ourselves from Krishna. I want to be mommy, I want to be daddy, I want to be Uncle John, I want to be sister, Gupta, and power, authority. So the parents give some facility. Okay, you know, here's some clothes, here's a tea party, you can carry on like this and that, and so on. You know? And they create it so it won't create too many problems like that. You know? So same way Krishna creates this world, right? You know? But he's present here, right, through his Paramatma feature. Another example is like the hand of God. I could take a stick and start hitting Srinivas on the head. And he would say, "Why are you hitting me?" And I would say, "I'm not hitting you. The stick is hitting you." Right? Yeah? Right? Okay. Yeah. So that's what's happening. The Paramatma is the hand of God, you know. We don't see beyond that and stuff. And well, what's attached to it? Is it a giant red pig, or is it an octopus, you know? Yeah. So Prabhupada gives the example, like when listening to something on a tape recorder, something very urgent, you're listening to your mother and what she's saying to you and stuff, but you're not listening to her, right? Yeah, because there's separation is there. So that's how he says, that's how the Paramatma works, to understand the feature like that and stuff. It's difficult for devotees to realize the Paramatma because we've already realized in Bhagavan, cha premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achitta guna swarupam. Premanjana, when a devotee looks at the Paramatma, he sees Krishna like that. Yeah, somebody else, they don't know. They know there is somebody in control. Some people think, no, it's just the world's out to get you and there's nobody in control, and you know, go for the gusto, you only live one time, right? And so they keep themselves in an intoxicated, crazy state, just where they can just think about the present moment, like a dog or animal. You know? As soon as they think about anything bigger, they become terrified. You know? And so, but other people know, they become a little bit more calm and they begin to accept, well, no, there is actually control and there's something going on. There is a reality. You know? Buddha came along and said, there is no reality. Right? Your church is unreal. Your country is unreal. It won't exist. Your family is unreal, it won't last. Your body is unreal, it won't last, right? This is what in commonly in psychology we call paranoid schizophrenia, right? And there's stories like this. The guy started, first he distrusted his family, his employees, they were all lying about him to the boss. He couldn't keep a job after a while. Then he began to realize his wife was out to get him, you know? Then he had to go to a, you know, mental hospital. And finally he realized the psychologist was out to get him. And so, and then he became a complete vegetable and just like, it doesn't anybody. So Buddha's philosophy, if you actually follow it, I know people who said this, they try to follow it. The way it's presented, if you actually follow Buddhism, no, but the way it's presented, it's like nihilism. It's terrifying, you know, like that and so on. So then Shankara came along after that and said, no, there is a reality. What is it? Nah, just not ready for that, but just calm down. First off, you got to get a little detached and stuff, and stop killing animals, all this kind of stuff, and just become peaceful. And you know, but there is a reality. There's a reality and stuff. And then after that, then Ramanuja and Madhva came along and started to give details of how it's structured. You know, so on. So we had different levels of realization. Again, I always use the example of Walt Whitman, famous American poet. He said, "Life is a road. You know, you go out on to leave that house that you built for yourself, or somebody else built for you." You know, come out on the road, you know, and take shelter of nature. The sky will be our ceiling, and the rivers will be our this and that. You know, and I'm leaving now, but you'll recognize me again if you see me on the road by a good pair of walking shoes and a waterproof overcoat. That's what I know. Very Paramatma, Vadi philosophy. So he said, life is a road, and he said, I meet the same men, the same women, again and again, but each time higher, higher. Like that. He said, life is a road. He said, where does it go? He said, I don't know, but it goes someplace good. Yeah? So he's got Brahma body, there is a reality, Paramatma body, it has form, but the exact form is not quite distinct yet. Different levels in this. You see it all over the place. This is reality. You know? So people come to that level of realizing there is an eternal transcendental reality. You know? And then you start to try and like, you know, be involved with that. In different ways, appreciating it, yeah? And understand what is the material nature, and so on. What is this world around us? What is the purpose of it? Why does it exist? Some of these questions come up. They're very natural. You know? If a child is given natural opportunity to develop, he'll ask all these questions. Human being will automatically start asking these questions if you have human intelligence. What is the purpose of this thing? Where does the universe come from? And so on. Yeah. So Krishna's saying, Bhumirapa, lower by you, all these external energies, you know, are being produced by me. They're my separated energy. And if we start to examine this, then we start to see that, yeah, it's, you know, it's a fact. There's somebody appears to be in control of all this. There's something going on. There's coordination, these kind of things. And then we start to come in contact, because the other side of the coin is that Krishna is merciful, right? You know? One man was in the flood, right? Know this story, right? And the water is coming more and more higher and raining. So funny, it's about like knee high, you know, coming up to his front porch. And one big truck goes by on the road in front of his house, out in the country. And they say, hey, just, you know, wade across through the water here. We can get in the truck. We'll take you out. And he says, yeah, I'm waiting for God to save me. Okay, you know, so okay, they go ahead. And the water gets up to the second story. He's got to go up to the second story now. The first story is inundated. And then the boat goes by and they say, just jump in the water and just swim across. We'll pull you out. Okay. He said, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. Okay. Now he has to go up on the roof finally. This helicopter comes and they say, you know, take the rope, put it around your waist, we'll pull you out. He says, no, I'm waiting for God to save me. Okay. So then the helicopter's running out of gas, it goes away. So then he's up on the roof, they're alone, and the clouds separate, right? And this big light comes down from heaven and shines on him, and this big voice says, what are you waiting for? I've already sent a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What more do you want? Yeah. So we have to be able to, you know, Krishna from his side is trying to help us. Science, predominating philosophy in terms of science, is that we're struggling, you know, to understand everything. We are masters of the universe. And pretty much the universe is a hostile entity which we have to deal with, you know. This comes a lot because E.T. Hall, Edward Thomas Hall, not extraterrestrial Hall, he's a big sociologist, very big sociologist, and the other people too. He said that North American consciousness, United States consciousness, is predominated by Northern German consciousness. And in Northern Germany, it's like 30 below zero in the winter, 50 below zero, and it's just, you have to go from here to there, and you have steel, you know. When these people came to America, the American Indians were looking at them, and they were talking about the iron horse, like that, you know, it's the railroad, the talking wire, you know. And they say, your people are very, very good metal workers, because that's the environment. You have to fight with nature. All this metal technology developed in places where you have to fight with nature and stuff like that, with steel, you know. So you have this kind of consciousness in here, you know. Other places, it's very natural to start seeing, like, how nature is functioning and how we can have a relationship and how it's providing for us, the fruits and stuff, and so many things, you know, are quite, seems like somebody is taking care of us if we're willing to be reasonable, you know. But the problem comes, let's say, there's a demoniac activity of trying to become the enjoyer, trying to take Krishna's position, right? They say, the Mahatma Gandhi said, there's enough in the world for every man's need, but not enough for one man's greed. Yeah. You see this, it keeps growing and growing. Nero, you know Nero, famous Roman emperor Nero? Yeah. He created this stuff to condemn, like, maybe like, you know, 25 acres of Rome. It's like that. It's like a lot of New York, you know, there's some reason to tear the whole thing down. And he built this entire, like, you know, palace for himself with gigantic interior rooms and parks and swimming pools and all this kind of stuff, you know. And you know, the emperor had limited power. Actually, it was a republic before. So the emperor, but he was like, you know, all this stuff. He said, now finally I feel like I'm living in a house for a human being. And stuff. Outside people were struggling in different things. Funny, when he got overthrown, they were just shocked, the Roman people, what he'd done. And they turned it into a public, you know, public enjoyment area and stuff like that and so on. But even at that, even after that, after some time, he wouldn't be satisfied, right? So the desire would be there to get the satisfaction, which we're not getting. We have an internal need for this satisfaction, right? If you take a frog, if you're a demoniac scientist, if you're a biologist, who kills more living entities than biologists? Nobody. the science of life, biology, the science of life, they themselves admit we kill more than anybody else. Okay, you take a poor frog, who probably was a biologist in his last lifetime, and you just destroy them, you scramble the guy's brains, okay? So he has no brains, okay? And you put a little acid here, his leg would do like this. automatically. The leg will try and, you know, remove the acid like that. Because that's being carried on by the ganglia in the spine. Right? Being carried on by the ganglia in the spine like that and so on. It doesn't even require the brain to make it work, you know, and so on. So it's our situation in the material world, right? We're thinking we're the controller, we're the doer, everything else. But actually all these things are being carried out for the most part by material nature. You know? And the, even the neurons have this desire for this satisfaction. They want to satisfy themselves to eliminate this pressure. So everywhere we find this innate desire for satisfaction. Right? But what is it for a human being? Right? Yeah. Different species, bears. Bears get bored in the zoos. You know, bears are every day bored. Somebody, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago or 7 years ago, they discovered that if they hide food all over the place or put it like in a difficult to get to, the bear comes out in the morning, scratches himself and starts looking here, you know, and looks there, and he sees up in the tree, and how am I going to get to that, and pushes something around and climbs that. And he spends all day getting food. He thinks, yeah, it was a good day. he's satisfied. He's satisfied just getting food, you know. Okay, once a year, a little romance. A little romance once a year. Yeah, okay. Scratch your back a lot. They do that, you know. Like, you know, some of these movies on the internet, they spend a lot of time scratching their backs. You know. Then they're satisfied, pretty much. But a human being is uncovered. We have to have art, poetry, music, what? Clothes, intrigue, philosophy, all this more complicated stuff, and still not satisfied. You know? But the satisfaction is possible. Yayatma suprasiddhati, right? Suprasiddhati. Grihasthas can make a beverage, right? They can show people sweating and working all day, and they come and drink this Hare Krishna beverage called suprasiddhati. Like that, you know? Satisfaction, yes. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Okay, yeah. But it's possible, very deep satisfaction. But it doesn't come from being the enjoyer, it comes from being the enjoyed, which makes it even more neurotic. We're satisfied when we are being exploited by Krishna, or hurt by Krishna, or something else. You know, this is our actual position, to be exploited. You know? Then we feel satisfaction, when we can give something, not take something, to Krishna. And Krishna is the most appreciative person, the most subtle, the most sensitive, the most kind, all these qualities. And so, yeah, when we give to him, we feel, you know, so nice. And Tagada, what's supposed to go on? Oh boy. Saka Upa, yeah, Saka Upajaha. Pranaharaksh. Okay. Which means?
As we water the root, the bhuja, skanda, shaka, so the trunk, the branches and the twigs and the leaves, everything will get nourished.
Okay, if you water the root, the branches, the twigs and the leaves get satisfied.
Yes, and by feeding the stomach, all the senses, everything are
nourished.
And by similarly, by worshipping the Lord,
Achyuta,
everything else is...
All the demigods are satisfied.
Yes.
Bhakti by Baba Ki Jai. Yeah, there's a quick fundamental verse in our philosophy. Yeah. So when we satisfy, another thing, when we satisfy Krishna, everybody else is satisfied. We can serve everybody in the most practical sense. I was thinking about maybe taking sannyas, or being, actually I wasn't thinking about it, it was being suggested I should take it, but I was thinking, well, my wife, my child, and but they were, you know, they were off in their own demoniac leelas and whatever, nice people. Actually, nice people, but it was just too much for them. Okay, yeah. So I was thinking, my goodness, I should maybe just sacrifice my spiritual life and, you know, and so on. But then I read this verse, which Prabhupada says that if you take sannyas, dedicate your life to Krishna, whatever that means, you know. Okay, formally sannyas. Then Krishna agrees to personally take charge of your responsibilities. And I was thinking, wow, what a deal. You know, trying to teach my son or something. I could do something. I could make some arrangement. But Krishna could arrange a nuclear war to drop in his face, or he could arrange for him to meet Narada Muni. It's like, you know. Yeah. So I really thought, oh, yeah, this is best for them. You know, I can't serve as an adequate instrument, it looks like. And Krishna, okay, so Krishna takes over. And my experience was that, yeah, my experience was that, you know, Krishna did his part of the bargain. You know, I was actually separated from them for somehow or other by about 10 years, you know, just somehow or other something happened. I had no contact. Then my sister tracked me down through the internet. And, oh, he's looking, he's on the internet. And then the first half an hour wasn't like, how is everybody? It was like, who's still alive? There's a lot of people that passed on, you know. So on, you know. And then they were my, you know, my perspective of the situation is one perspective, is that Krishna did the job and they have a lot more God consciousness than they probably would have had under other circumstances like that, you know. Maybe somebody else may think something else. But it's my perspective, yeah. And Krishna did his part and stuff, you know. And so this is the idea that if we serve Krishna rather than trying to become the enjoyer and replace Krishna, then we get satisfaction and we don't need so much. The Brajmandal Parikrama, you go off marching every day, you know, 10 to 15 kilometers barefoot through the Braja, stepping on thorns, sometimes so big it takes pliers to pull them out. It's just like, you know, and you arrive and you have to fight for the water and your buckets and bathe and everything else, and you lie down in the tent with 600 other people coughing and sneezing and snoring, or, and there's a root underneath your thing. And, you know this story. Yeah, it's you. But you're out there too. Just after a few days, you start dreaming about dirt, rope, straw. It's all you see. Hari Sori, he said, look at my hands. After 2 days, his hands were shaking. He said, every day I use a computer about 6 hours a day. And he said, now my hands are starting to go through withdrawal. Yeah. I just mentioned too that the ladies still try and keep their faces decorated for the first few days. But after the first few days, they start looking like German infantry soldiers, like that and stuff like that. You know, forget it. It becomes very simple. You know, Radhanath Maharaj, they come back every night. But there, Lokanath Maharaj, you go out and you don't come back. You know. You stay in Brijbasi farmhouses with wooden doors and so all and stuff, and meet Brijbasis. It's probably the most deep immersion experience into Vrindavan. You know, not to speak of Indian culture, but into Vrindavan itself. You know. And so like that, you start like becoming, you know, very detached. And of course, Braja is accessible to many levels. Materialistic person comes there, and he's not really offensive, then Braja will open herself up and have so many experiences, you know, like that. Somebody else on the level of sadhana bhakti, where they're actually connecting to Krishna, following, and it's so great because there's nothing to do at nighttime. The sun goes down, it's dark, you go to bed, and you get up early and chant and thinking about Krishna. There's no place to go, nothing to do. It's very, very simple. Whatever, you know, you haven't got to select what you're going to wear because you got one box. It's like, you know. So for sadhana, it's also very good. Then, of course, for other people in more advanced levels, you can actually experience different things, you know. I remember one time we were at what's the place? They worship Shiva. I mean, worship Shiny. We sat in the middle of so-and-so, one of the forests.
Oh, yeah.
We come back for Prabhupada's festival from there.
Where they worship Shiny?
Many little temples together, way out in the middle of nowhere. Something Bon, one of the 12 forests.
It's not about Bon.
Huh?
Not
no. It'll come back. Anyway. So what happens is that we go get out there and we're going to come all the way back to Vrindavan for Prabhupada's festival. It's about maybe 45-minute drive. So you go, you take rest, 400 people. You wake up in the morning, there's 20 buses out there. Where'd they come from? You know? So we all climb on the buses. And you go off, and this is right after, you know, the first light, you know, get back, and all day long with Prabhupada's festival, and there's no place to rest, of course, or anything else, because you're out there. So finally, 7 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock at night, you pile back on the buses and heading back out to what's waiting for you is your campsite in the dust with your this and stuff, you know. And we're going back out there, and we're going back through the back roads in Vrindavan, and remember we're going through the villages, and suddenly I could see, like, you know, that there was like multiplexing. You know, it was 5 milliseconds were for the Karmis, 5 milliseconds were for the Vaidya Bhaktis, next 5 milliseconds were for the Brijbasis, like that, and so on. So wherever you wanted to focus your thing there, you could see whichever Vrindavan you wanted to be. They were all simultaneously existing. That was kind of my experience, you know. And for Brijbasis, it was, you know, the rivers were nectar, the flowers were made of diamonds, and, you know, every song was, every motion was a song, and it was, you know, it was just like, yeah, what do you want to see? It's all here, you know. Yeah. So this is the material world. You know? We're here, but if we have this attitude that Krishna created this place for his enjoyment, the king enjoys rectifying people in the prison. He's not like, you know, it's not like he enjoys them suffering or anything, but he enjoys setting up a place where they can become purified and they can get back into their ordinary activities, you know. And he also likes, the father likes playing with the children. He suspends his intelligence to play with the kids and pretend these things and get into their activities. So Krishna likes to come here because he can't do things in Vaikuntha that he can do here. You know, Hiranyakasipu, Nrisimhadeva is not, you know, tearing guts out and tossing them all over Vaikuntha like that. And so on. These kind of pastimes can only take place in the material world. So Krishna likes also to come down here and, you know, he smashes demons with his club and doesn't wash it, right? Lets the blood dry on it and everybody looks at it and, yeah, that was a good, you know, good fight, you know, yeah, you know, and so on. So it has its, even for Krishna, it has its blissful aspect to it. And once we understand that why it exists and everything else for purification, then it's also for us. You know, it's a very, very, what's the word, like healthy, happy place. You know, it's a reform place, reform school, like that, right? Mental hospital, prison. Yeah. Yep. So this is the point that Vindhyavali is making. This guy is, he still has this fundamental demoniac mentality. Right? It's more the grossest level is just that I can eat whatever I want to eat. I'm a wolf. When I'm hungry, I rip somebody's guts out and eat them. More civilized is I have to control myself and there's certain rules. And the devatas, it's mentioning, even have more, you know, rules and regulations. But the fundamental principle is still the same, that I want to and to enjoy, and rather than serve, right? Yeah. So Vrindavali is giving very, very nice prayers and still saying, my husband is still a crazy guy, and he's so kind that you're reforming him. Right? You see, the Prabhupada, what was he do? He would, like, you know, show like some irritation about something. More angry, he would chastise people, but the most angry, he would say nothing. And that's when you knew you did something really bad, and Prabhupada would just like, you know, it's like beyond hope. You know, he was chastising you, still you felt, okay, wow, okay. It's like, you still feel there's something worthwhile here to work on, like that and so on. So Bali Maharaj, Krishna comes himself, right? You know? And it's so kind that he actually takes this thing of chastising him, dealing with him and so on. And Vrindavali is saying, even after this, he hasn't appreciated the situation. Of course, this is the eighth canto. These are very elevated people again. And what is our situation? We're probably going to find ourselves here, right? With some kind of mixture of attachments and detachments. And these stories put it into like a very personal aspect. You can really identify with the story of Daksha. Yeah, it's like that. You know, I'm a big book distributor. I've collected more temple. I paid for half of this temple with my collection and managing the Sankirtan party. And nobody's worshipped Krishna like I worship Krishna. You know, and you read the story and you think, yeah. It's like, yeah. And here's the solution. Yeah. So many stories. This one about Bali Maharaj. Very elegated. You know, like sometimes they show that in Hindi movies, they have the demons with fangs or the pictures like horns and stuff like that. And the Prabhupada says, no, Asura does not mean ugly person with fangs and horns. He said, he actually said, probably he's very, very, very handsome. You know, very good looking. You know, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, basically, I've heard Pegan Oaks, kind of marginal guy in archaeology, but not totally rejected. Because what is it? What is the name for Germany in German?
Deutschland.
Deutschland. So he says it comes from Deutschland. Deutschland, you know. Yeah. And if you look at the ideal character of Germans, and Hans Duda had Prabhupada come to Germany, and he had a whole program there. It was really incredible how what happened. Then he wanted Prabhupada to come again. And Prabhupada said, no, I cannot come again. There are people there who would kill me. Right? Everybody else thinking, oh, some yogi, this and that. But the Germans were intelligent enough to figure out, this guy is dangerous. Yeah, like that. Otherwise, Prabhupada, somebody even keeping a low profile to some degree, you know, get the information out. Yeah. And Hansa Duda said, Prabhupada said, materially most intelligent people on the face of the earth. Materially most intelligent. Yeah. But Hansa Duda said that they were... Hansaduda's idea was the perfect temple was the pujari would be a French guy, the cook would be Italian, yeah. Temple commander would be German, but he was German, he said, but the temple president would have to be British, because he said Germans are just not cunning enough to engage in all this espionage and this politics and stuff. They're just too straightforward in their character. He says Englishmen, most cunning, you know. People like that. Yeah. Yeah. There were two, was it two? Extremely highly placed German spies during World War II. And they were just sending information that allowed the Germans to annihilate entire regiments, you know, of British soldiers and stuff, you know. Finally came out at the end of the war, they were not German spies. They were British spies. And the British intentionally sacrificed thousands of their own soldiers, sent them to their death to establish the credibility of these spies. That's cunning. Yeah. In the end, they used them. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Evil. Great Britain, you die. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So different. So very, very materially advanced. You know, very good looking, very strong bodies. It was describing Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha. So when they walked down the sidewalk, the earth would shake under their feet. Their bodies would block out the sun. And Prabhupada said, this is the desire of every materialist. That when he walks down the street, everything is like, you know, so on. Like that. And you can see, whenever I would do dramas in the Rajmanda Parikrama, once you do it one time successfully, you can't escape, right? So I ended up doing the Govardhan Puja thing again and again. You know? And that's a trip, trying to organize a drama where everybody's in motion the whole time. You know? But invariably, all the gods and goddesses would be these German guys, and they would just... curly black, white hair, blonde hair, and everything else and stuff, and they, you know, Indra and stuff. It was just natural, you know. No, gods and goddesses, and also Sprakh Zarathustra. We have showed you our movie there and stuff. You know? So reflections. So Bali Maharaj like this very, very elegant person, very aristocratic. And what do you want to do? Right? There's three qualities that Krishna has. He's the supreme. Bhoktaram yagna tapasyam, sarva loka maheshvaram, suhidam sarva dehinam, nyatvamam shanti mrichati. If you know this about me, you'll be peaceful. Everything will be happy. What's the first one?
He's the enjoyer of all sacrifices.
Yeah. Going to school is a sacrifice, right? Everybody knows that studying, forcing yourself to control yourself. Having kids is a sacrifice. There's a lot of... you know, carrying a baby, giving birth, all this kind of stuff. It's a big sacrifice. So who's the enjoyer? Look, I'm your mother. Take care of me. Right? You owe me. You know? Yeah. Look, I went to your school. Give me a diploma so I can make good money now. Yeah? Yeah. So who's the enjoyer of all these sacrifices? Yeah? You offer your kids to Krishna. Yeah? I did all this work. You can become a brahmachari if I never see you ever again. Haribol. Little demoniac characters, still. Yeah, yeah. Or else, no. I went to school. I studied all these things. I don't care if I'm working in a boiler room. You know, yeah. Krishna's the enjoyer, right? First principle: Bhoktaram
yagnatapasyam. He's the master of all the universe.
Yeah, he's the proprietor of everything. He owns everything, and he's the enjoyer of everything. Yeah. Okay, this is kind of like. Can accept this. Yeah, okay. You know, God owns everything, and God's the enjoyer of everything. Okay. The last one is the one which is really tricky, right?
Friend of all living beings.
Suhridam sarva dehinam. Right? Adam and Eve, the fundamental story of all Judeo-Christian traditions, everything else. Eve was bewildered by the devil or something, who came in the form of a snake, and convinced her to eat the apple, whatever it was, the fruit of the tree of good and evil, somehow or other. I think, you know, they want a platform where they couldn't conceive of good and evil, pious and impious activities. And he told her, if you ate this thing, you'll become like God. You know, so someone became confused, ate the apple, and now she had to leave the Garden of Eden and stuff. So Adam came along, and the story was that she seduced him to also eat the apple, but that's not what it says. It says that he understood it was a bad thing she'd done, and he wasn't going to do it. But he's thinking, but now she has to leave the Garden of Eden. She has to go out and get a job at Wendy's or something like that. Make money, struggle, suffer, be all alone. Okay, so I'm going to eat the apple, so I'll also fall down and be her friend and protector. So I'm the supreme friend, I'm the supreme protector. The same principle. So many times, you know, your parents, I'm your friend. I'll take care of you, don't worry. Prabhupada says the strongest attachment in the material world is father for daughter. Because there's a sexual relationship, but it's subtle. And the main subtle is my little girl. when the bonding happens, you know, Dad, it was Lakshminath. He said he had one girlfriend in college. And I actually did, I guess after in college and afterwards they grew up, he knew her and stuff. He said when she was a little girl, like 5 years old or something, her mother told her, if you ever want anything really bad, just go sit on Daddy's lap and give him a big kiss and then ask for it. So sometime later she wanted a puppy, she tried it out and it worked. She got a puppy. So different times, like, you know, when she was getting married and they needed a new car, she said, and 22 years old, it still worked. Hey, Daddy, we need a car. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, this is, I'll protect you, you're so innocent, all this kind of stuff. Very strong attachment. Mm-hmm. It's a subtle thing. God's not your best friend, I'm your best friend. Real thing is to tell your children, look, you know, I'm an empowered authority, but I have my limits. Sometimes I'm going to misunderstand you, you know, and stuff like that. And in the end, I can't be relied on. So I'm trying to connect you with your real friend, your real father and stuff. You know? And later on, you'll see how I'm being used. And sometimes it comes to a point where it's not quite clear who's in charge, the parents or God. Yeah. Look, you take care of this. No, you take care of that. I try my best. No, you try some more. It's like there are, you know, boundary areas where we're still arguing this out, where God's in charge and we're in charge. Yeah. Yeah. So this is the basic philosophy she's telling him here, is that in the end he thinks he's going to give charity, right? Charity is in some ways the most gratifying experience of giving. But you're giving because, you know, you still want something back. Subtle. All men are willing to invest, but most expect a return on their investment. This is a British phrase. All men are willing to invest, but most expect a return for their investment. Most. Yeah, yeah. And it can be very subtle again, too. You know, very subtle. So Bali Maharaj, he wants fame, he wants reputation. He wants a reputation that will last forever, and so on. Yeah. So how much? Ourselves, that's the question. Read these stories and see the purity in the different examples. How many people have read Prabhupada's Lilamrita? Yeah, okay. How many people cried when they read it? Yeah, no? Yeah. This is so like, so important, you come to this movement, you understand what this movement is, where it came from, what a responsibility is, and how wonderful it is. You know, part of our bhakti program is, you know, Lilamrita, you know, you know, what do you call it, the Upadeshamrita, you know, the biography of Lord Chaitanya, you know, the introduction to Chinnachandramrita, Prabhupada's biography, Science of Self-Realization, and just go through and read the verses. Somebody go through, read the verses of Nectar of Instruction. Somebody explain like the whole philosophy like that. And that's our, you know, what we suggest as reading material before initiation, you know, first initiation. So, anyway, what time is it now? Kitna Bhajan.
It's 12:32.
Oh, okay, so time to quit. Okay, so Prabhupada, huh? Okay, any quick questions here? Okay, yes. Yeah. Because again, an example of parents. Parents, they see what the children need. They understand better. You need to take a nap now. I don't want to take a nap. Just lie down. It's okay. I'll rub your head. you know, they can see better than the children what they need and what they're going to need like that. Pack this in the suitcase. So when we're asking Krishna for this, give me that, give me this, give me that, we're fighting for this, fighting for that. And Krishna's already seeing that and stuff, you know. But he wants us to take part in the whole process and have kids pack their luggage to some degree and do things and stuff. Yeah, okay. So we understand what Krishna wants us to do in terms of his program like that and so on. But the basic principle is that we, you know, if we make any mistake, don't worry. You know, Krishna's taking care of it. So we don't have to get anything for ourselves other than what's in the plan of Krishna. What Krishna tells us to want, you know. No, you should stick up for that. Go on. You're going to, you know, fight for your rights. Arjuna told him to fight for his rights. But it was also for Arjuna's proper prestige, for you, just your prestige, but because it all fit into Krishna's broader plan like that. Yeah. And part of the broader plan is for our benefit. Krishna's out for everybody's benefit. You know. So our activities, she showed it. Yes, sir.
What is it that made Bali Maharaj a Mahajana?
What made Bali Maharaj dead? Yeah. Completely dead. Haribo. Yeah. Anyway, I will just talk from my diaphragm as I learned in theater at 117 at UC Davis. All right, yeah. What is it that made Bali Maharaj a Mahajan? I don't know. Because he's a...
I mean, which act I was thinking, is it because he gave charity to Ramandev? Yeah. Exactly?
At some point he became a great authority, but maybe again because he had this relationship and he accepted like that, but I don't remember any specific citation about why he became, or why Janak Maharaj, you know, is there. You know. So there are many more things to hear, to understand, like all these questions and stuff. Well, because. You know.
Okay, is it, yeah. Because he, in the end, Shukracharya asked him not to give to Lord. So he mentions about his reputation, you know, that he needs to, he wants to keep up his reputation, but at the same time we talk about Bali Maharaj giving full surrender. So, I mean, his platform was...
Same question.
Yeah.
So it seems that after the whole experience, he realized, it's like, you know, Dhruva wanted the material thing, he wanted the planets, but after he saw Krishna, he realized that was a real fool. And after Bali Maharaj went through the whole experience, maybe his wife's statement actually, you know, kicked it in for him, and he realized, yeah, I'm still a fool.
And also, maybe it's just different levels. It may be just different levels of surrender, like the Pandava surrender was much higher.
Yeah. It's not. It's a very sophisticated study in the Bhagavatam. And we go on reading again and again, it becomes more and more clear. You know. And so maybe by this time we'll end up, take birth in ISKCON Vaikuntha. Right? We'll get Prabhupada's books there and we can go on reading and studying more, and if we want to go on more, you know. And of course, the position of the Rishabhasis and the Gopis is almost incomprehensible and stuff, because their activities resemble ordinary activities to such a degree that it's just like very difficult, you know. It's not like very high elevated social society, you know, or this kind of sages or rishis. They're just kind of common people and all this kind of stuff carrying on, but it's just the most, you know, the most intense, you know, surrender. Well, I always realized we're always praying to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please engage me in your service. Oh, Radha, oh, Krishna, oh, Radha, oh, Krishna, oh, Krishna. Please engage me in your service. Please engage me in your service. And this, when it starts to happen, right, and if we accept it, we die. It's just, when I was packing to leave for this 2 weeks of this trip, I was in a moment. Every single thing I had to do, I had to move the car from this driveway to that driveway so the Sankirtan devotees could use it when I was gone. I had to take out the car covering thing, and I got the thing, figure out how to put it on. I had to tie it on down. I had to come back inside. I had to put two buckets where the roof is leaking. It's just like... wasn't a moment, you know. Somebody, Prabhupada said, you think I have sex, you think I'm free from sex desire, don't you? Yes, Prabhupada. He said, no, I have sex desire. He said, but I don't have any time to do anything about it. So that's, yeah, at a certain point we keep praying to Krishna and then we get, you know, service all the time. But after that it becomes more and more intense, you know. And that's spiritual life. Wow. So Papa ki, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki, Bali Maharaj ki, Haribo, okay.